Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for September 2005. This is issue number 246, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, and my address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you live in the United States of America or Canada and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and look for that Join Us link at the top right side of the page and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Before we get into Bill Hale's column, I just want to mention the new telephone numbers one more time. These are the telephone numbers that National Radio Club members should use to contact me and to leave a musings to the members. If you have any of those 419 area code numbers starting with the exchange 22, just delete them. You need to use these new numbers. The new DX Audio Service office number is 360-382-1957. That's 360-382-1957. If you're calling in just to muse, call 360-469-0189. That's 360-469-0189. And again, the old musings number of 419-224-1609 is gone. Also gone is the fax number, since we've not had to send or receive a fax in well over a year. Time now for the AM switch with your host, Bill Hale. And if you'd like to write to Bill and give him some information for the AM switch, his address is 6124 Roaring Springs Drive. And that's in North Richland Hills, Texas, 76180. Now here's Bill.
Thanks, Fred. Here's AM switch for the DX Audio Service for September 2005. First of all, as always, call letter changes. On 910, WKEQ in Burnside, Kentucky has changed to WLLK. 970, WRKN in Brandon, Mississippi has changed to WZQK. 970 in Spokane, Washington, KTRW has changed their call to KTTO. On 1050, WACR Columbus, Mississippi has changed their call sign to WTWG. 1160 WZFN Saraland, Alabama has changed to WKTT. On 1190 KMYL Tolleson, Arizona, their new call is KNUV. 1250 WQXA in York, Pennsylvania has changed their call to WYYC. On 1310 a familiar call returns to Norfolk, Virginia, WCMS reverts to WGH. 1320 WAMR Venice, Florida has changed to WDDV. 1340 KIDS Springfield, Missouri, their new call KADI. On 1490 WUBR in Whitehall, Michigan, their new call WODJ. 1510 in Piedmont, California, KMZT has changed to KPIG. And on 1550 WBCV in Bristol, Tennessee, their new call is WIGN. Construction permits which have taken to the air over the past month, 810 WDMP in Dodgeville, Wisconsin has added 10 watts of night service, so they're now U1, 250 during the day and 10 watts at night. WLSS 930 in Sarasota, Florida, their construction permit for U4 5,000 daytime watts, 3,000 nighttime watts is on the air. 1030 WONQ in Oviedo, Florida, they've been reported to be testing their new rig for the CP for U2 44,000 daytime watts, 1,700 watts at night. Full-time operation can't be far behind. 1060 KRCN Longmont, Colorado, the CP for U1 30,000 watts during the day and a 111 watts at night is on the air from a new 195-foot daytime tower, while the nighttime signal continues to emanate from the old site. 1150 WJRD Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The CP for U2, 20,000 daytime watts, 1,000 nighttime watts is on the air. WJRD still has a pending application to move the city of license to Northport, Alabama. 1150 WHBY Kimberly, Wisconsin has been reported to be either testing or on the air with their U4 20,000 day, 25,000 watts night from the new 6-tower site. WOBT 1240 in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, the program test authority has been granted for U1 950 watts daytime, 1,000 watts nighttime, relocating the transmitter site to a new 400-foot tower, with the bottom 200 feet being a folded unipole skirt. On 1270 WYXC Cartersville, Georgia, the CP for increasing daytime power to become U1 2000 daytime 187 at night is on the air. Also on 1270 KAJO in Grants Pass, Oregon, the CP for their upgrade to U1 10,000 daytime watts, 48 watts at night is now on. 1310 WGSP Charlotte, North Carolina, their CP for U2 5,000 daytime, 240 watts at night is now on. 1340 WITS in Sebring, Florida, their CP to move to a new 217-foot tower is now on the air. 1350 WKCU in Corinth, Mississippi, they're now on with 900 watts during the day and 44 watts at night, all non-directional. 1400 WPAY Portsmouth, Ohio, a CP and program test authority has been granted to decrease power to be 800 watts day and night non-directional from their new 256-foot tower. 1470 WBFC Stanton, Kentucky, they're now on with 850 watts during the day and 82 watts at night. 1520 WDMN in Rossford, Ohio, the construction permit for the city of license change from Toledo is now on with U4 500 daytime watts and 400 nighttime watts from a new 3-tower site. 1560 WBYS Canton, Illinois has added nighttime service with 18 watts, so they're now 250 watts during the day and 18 watts at night, non-directional. Grants to existing facilities, 800 KPDQ Portland, Oregon. Their CP has been granted for U2 1,000 and 600 at night. 830 KMUL in Farwell, Texas, a CP has been granted to move here from 1380 with 1,100 watts during the day and 10 watts at night non-directional. A later application for U8, 50,000 watts during the day, 10 watts at night, and 16,000 watts during critical hours is still pending. 890 KQLX, Lisbon, North Dakota, their CP has been granted for an increase in daytime power to 1,800 watts, and they remain a daytimer. 910 WFDF, Flint, Michigan, they're licensed for U4 5,000, 1,000. They received a CP for an upgrade to U4 50,000, 1,000 with a day facility emanating from a new 8-tower site about 50 miles south of Flint, while retaining the night site to cover the city of license. Well, WFDF then filed for and now has been granted a CP for U4 50,000, 19,000 with a change of city of license to Farmington Hills, Michigan, all from that 8-tower site. 960 WGGT North Palm Beach, Florida, their CP has been granted for U5 1,200 and 250 at night. Remember that U5 means they're directional daytime only. 1010 KXEN St. Louis, Missouri. CP has been granted to change the city of license to St. Louis only, dropping the Estes designation that they've been for so many years. 1050 WBRG Lynchburg, Virginia. The CP has been granted to increase daytime power to become U1 4000 during the day and 98 watts at night. 1150 WRUN Utica, New York. Their application has been granted to convert the radio station to a non-commercial status. 1230 KZTS in Sunnyside, Washington. CP has been granted to move to 1230 from 1210, and their new facilities will be U1, 700 watts during the day and night. 1260 WWVT Christiansburg, Virginia. CP has been granted to increase day power and add night service. They'll now be U1, 5,000 during the day and 25 watts at night. 1310 WGSP, Charlotte, North Carolina. Their CP has been granted to erect a second tower in order to add night service. When built, WGSP will be U2, 5,000 daytime, 240 watts at night. 1340 WCMI in Ashland, Kentucky. The CP has been granted to increase power. When on the air, they'll be U1, 1,000 watts, day and night. 1360 WKAT, North Miami, Florida. CP has been granted for U4, 50,000, 5,000 from a new five-tower site. 1380 KQKD, Redfield, South Dakota. They've been granted a change from commercial to non-commercial status. 1410 KWYO, Sheridan, Wyoming. The CP has been granted to relocate to a new single 240-foot tower and reduce the nighttime power. When operational, KWYO will become U1, 5,000 during the day and 350 watts at night. 1430 KMRB, San Gabriel, California. The application has been reinstated and the CP granted all in one fell swoop to add a tower to their array in order to increase power levels to become U4, 50,000 daytime, 9,800 watts at night. 1460 WRVK, Mount Vernon, Kentucky. CP has been granted to increase the daytime power to become U1, 1,200 watts during the day and 93 watts at night. 1490 WOLF, Syracuse, New York. CP has been granted to discontinue daytime directional operation. WOLF will be U1, 1,000 daytime and nighttime. 1560 KKAA, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Their CP has been granted also to change from a commercial to non-commercial status. 1600 WHJB, Bedford, Pennsylvania. CP has been granted to reduce day and night power levels to be U1, 2,700 watts during the day, 18 watts at night, from a new 277-foot tower of commonly owned WBFD 1310. And 1600 KRVA, Cockrell Hill, Texas. Their application has been reinstated and a CP granted for U4, 25,000 watts during the day and 930 watts at night. A couple of new stations have been granted by the FCC during the past month. On 1340 in Taos, New Mexico, they'll have 1,000 watts during the day and night, non-directional. And 1560 in Burbank, Washington, that new station will be 10,000 watts during the day, 1,600 watts at night, U4, from a new three-tower site. Well, some Canadian news to report. Dean McIntyre reports the CRTC has approved a new AM station for Vancouver. In this decision, the commission approves the application for a broadcasting license to operate a new ethnic AM radio station at Vancouver on 1,200 kilohertz with 25 kilowatts during the day and night using two separate but similar patterns. The applicant proposed a service that will be directed predominantly to Vancouver's South Asian communities. The CBC has applied to the CRTC for drop-in FM stations in Edmonton, Alberta, to rebroadcast CHFA 680 and CBX 740, and in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to rebroadcast CBK 540, noting problems due to QRM of the AM signals in those cities. In other Canadian matters, the CRTC has denied an application by the owners of CHOR 1450 Summerland, British Columbia, to replace the AM station with an FM facility on 95.3. The commission was concerned the FM station would provide more coverage than the AM. The move of CJMD 1240 Chibougamau, Quebec to 93.5 FM with 19.8 kilowatts has been approved by the CRTC. CFED 1340 Chappé, Quebec will also go silent as Chappé will be served by that new FM transmitter. So two more graveyarders will bite the dust. And the CRTC has canceled the license of CFPS 1490 Port Elgin, Ontario, as that new FM station serving the area is on the air. And the following four Canadian AM stations have applied to the CRTC to move to FM from AM. They are CFCY 630 in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. They've applied for 95.1 with 73.3 kilowatts. CHTN 720, Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, has applied for 100.3 kilohertz. CHTN 720, Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, has applied for 100.3 megahertz with 33 kilowatts. CKWA 1210, Slave Lake, Alberta, has applied for 92.7 megahertz with 5.7 kilowatts. And CKEC 1320, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, has applied for 94.1 megahertz with 51.88 kilowatts. In the case of CFCY and CKEC, other parties have applied for new FM stations to use the same frequencies. If the CFCY and CHTN applications are approved, Prince Edward Island will have exactly zero AM stations left, not counting the two 20-watt TIS stations located on 1490 and 1280 in the Prince Edward Island National Park, assuming they are still in operation. So, it's time to log Prince Edward Island if you have not done so yet. And late breaking news, the CRTC has approved a new AM station at Tiktoyaktuk Northwest Territories on 1150 kHz. With 40 watts day and night, non-directional. The new station will rebroadcast the programming of CHAK 860 Inuvik, Northwest Territories. While other news, silent stations reported this past month, WCHQ 960, Quebradillas, Puerto Rico, KTOZ 1060, Springfield, Missouri, WOWZ 1280, Appomattox, Virginia, KUOL 1470, San Marcos, Texas, KRSN 1490, Los Alamos, New Mexico. KLFJ 1550, Springfield, Missouri, was silent for a short period, but now has returned with a travel format. WHGT 1590, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, is still and will likely stay off forever, as the studio and transmitter building, along with their four towers, are gone. It is speculated that the owner will turn the license in. Stations reported to have returned to the air this past month, WGRP 940 Greenville, Pennsylvania. They returned on August 1st with very low power. They're simulcasting WLOA 1470 Farrell, Pennsylvania, carrying programming formally on WEXCFM 107.1. And they call themselves WEXY 107 Good Time Oldies, even though WEXC is not carrying that programming. WCBG 1380, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, is back on from a newly constructed tower as they simulcast the 92.1 FM station from nearby Mercersburg. And also a late-breaking news, the new owner of WSMN 1590, Nashua, New Hampshire, was shooting for a return to the air date of August 15th. But legal matters, including FCC approval, stand in the way. When WSMN does return, it will simulcast with WSNH 900 until they change to a news information format with live drive-time call-in shows later this fall. Let's wish them the best to bring back this AM station. Well, the clock on the wall says my time is up. I want to thank Sean Axelrod, Jerry Conkling, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Jerry Starr for info this month. And as always, I thank you for listening. Well, John Bowker continues his tour of 930 kilohertz, so it's time to switch over to Studio A and check in with John.
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the Travelogue. We're going to be continuing our trip across this fabulous country today with our radios set to the 930 dial position. If you remember, on our last program, we ended in southern Georgia. That means we can step across the St. Mary's River. And we wind up in the beautiful city of Jacksonville in the very northeast corner with an oldies station as we begin the September 2005 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
This is Ed Shockey. We'll hear from Tripping the Live Fantastic when we return with the third hour of Paul McCartney, Yesterday and Today, over the Unistar Radio Network.
WRXJ Jacksonville is cruising 930, and you're listening to the Paul McCartney Story, Yesterday and Today.
And then in 1992, Linda and I were passing through town. I tuned to 930 to hear the oldies, and this is what I got.
My buddy Van Page and I to give you all the sports news, take your calls with your comments and your questions right here on Wins 930 WNZF.
WNZS AM Jacksonville. All sports, all the time. Win 930.
NBC Radio News. Good morning, I'm Dirk Van. More America. And you want to know something? That format has lasted over a decade, even longer than the call letters.
See you next week. Good fishing.
The Fox, WFXJ, Jacksonville, Jacksonville's sports leader.
Well, that wraps up 930 in Jacksonville pretty well. So what do you say we move partway down the peninsula, about halfway, to 30 miles west of Orlando?
USA News is next, sponsored by First Union National Bank. You're listening to WLVF, AM and FM, Haines City.
USA Radio Network News, this is Bob Agnew. NASA has passed up its first opportunity to land the space shuttle Endeavour at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida because of weather problems.
Sounds vaguely familiar, does it not? Okay, well, we're going to move to the west coast of Florida, the Gulf Coast, or Sun Coast, as the locals like to call it, to one of the little art colonies named Sarasota.
Good morning. It's 66 degrees at 8 o'clock at WKXY Sarasota. This is WKXY News.
Well, WKXY was running an adult contemporary music format, and on AM around these parts, that simply didn't work. So they decided to try Music of Your Life.
Thank you for making us all a part of the music of your life.
On the stations of the Gull, WGUL, Dunedin, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, WGUL-FM, Beverly Hills, Newport, Richey. And introducing WUGL, Sarasota, Bradenton at 9:30 on the AM dial. We've got 73 degrees at 1 o'clock.
AP Network News, I'm Carlotta Bradley.
Well, Music of Your Life only lasted a few months in Sarasota, so they decided to try an all-talk format.
Doug Limerick, ABC News.
Talk radio, 9:30 a.m.
WLSS, Sarasota's talk radio at 9:30 a.m.
Imus in the morning.
And with Imus in the morning, what more need we say? In fact, what we'll do is leave Florida at this point. We'll head north and go up into the Bible Belt.
Once again, our present temperature stands at 89 degrees, going down to around 70 tonight. And you're listening to the Joy 930, WJBY, Rainbow City, Gadsden.
Okay, let's stay in the deep south for another station or two. We'll go over to the state capital of Mississippi.
The Longhorns will come out to their 20, leading 23-10. After we pause for station identification, this is NCAA football from Host Communications and Westwood One, the nation's leader in play-by-play radio sports.
We are your ticket to sports. AM 930, the all-new WSOI. Jackson.
Now, that recording's just 10 years old, but Linda and I were back in town, actually on our way home from the Dallas NRC convention in 2003, and this is what we picked up at 9:30 in Jackson.
We're Super Sport 930, WSFZ, Jackson, sports radio for the fans. Welcome back to Southern Sports Report with John Rainey, the Rain Man.
Well, as much as we'd like to wait around and listen in on the Rain Man, we're going to be moving up out of the deep south now to the south central part of Tennessee, the Volunteer State.
Take this job and shove.
It's 9 o'clock a.m.
WTNR, AM 930, FM 94.9, Waynesboro.
USA Radio Network News, this is Bob Agnew.
Well, thank you, Bob. Actually, we're going to be moving on our travel around the United States with our radio dials locked at 9:30. Steve Francis lives in eastern Tennessee, and he picked up a recording of this country western station for us about 8 years ago.
You gotta do it.
playing a wider variety of your country favorites. Hometown Radio, AM 930, WSEV, Sevierville.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling.
Well, Doug, while you're reading the news, we're going to be heading north, and we're going to go up into Kentucky, right next to the Mammoth Cave National Park.
WKCT Radio, 930 Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That was recorded in 1988, back in the days when all I tried to do was prove I had heard the station. But I can tell you it was adult contemporary the day we recorded that. And then in 2001, we stopped in Huntington, West Virginia.
Your news and sports talk leader. AM 930 WRVC, Huntington. A Kindred Communications station.
Airbags, not such a deadly toll.
And you can compare that with a recording we made in 1991 in Huntington.
Juggling the ball a little bit, did not have complete possession. Let's pause for station identification on this, the Cincinnati Bengals radio network.
The talk of the town. Rush Limbaugh, Bruce Williams, Marshall Sports, and Reds Baseball on Talk Radio 930, WTKZ, Huntington, Ashland, Ironton.
And as we head north and west on our travelogue this month, we come to Elyria, Ohio.
This is Lorain County's hometown radio station, AM 930 WEOL, Elyria, Lorain.
Good evening from WEOL Continuing News. I'm Mark Hanna. Here's the latest.
You know, Elyria only runs 1,000 watts, and it's clearly an out-of-town station, and yet it does make it into the Cleveland Book, so they're doing very well. And we come now to a news talk station that goes back well over a decade in the city that breakfast cereal made famous.
It's 12 o'clock noon, cloudy and 65.
NBC Radio News, I'm Barbara Porter.
I wonder how many of you remember Quaker Oats of Battle Creek, shot from cannons. You remember those ads on the radio? Oh, boy. We come next to a misnamed town, I'm sure. It's called Centerville. But it's nowhere near the center of its state, which is Indiana. It's right along the eastern edge.
The music memories are made of. Easy 93, WHON Centerville, Richmond. Time for news via satellite from the Mutual Broadcasting System and with Mike Davis from WHON.
Unemployment up. Dukakis rehires an aide.
We come next to Illinois. And right in Mark Twain territory, by the way, right on the Mississippi River. And I ask you, how many times have you heard an announcer interrupt his own ID jingle to give the ID?
The area sports leader, AM 930, WTAD, Quincy, Hannibal, Keokuk.
CBS News, I'm Vicki Kelly.
Now we come to one of the most interesting of the stations in today's travelogue, in a city that's trying to find its own identity, I'm sure. Sandwich, Illinois is really Aurora, Illinois. Here's a 2,500-watt station, came on the air, 1986, with some oldies music. By the time we got there, they had already given up on the oldies, and they were giving a shot at country music.
More of the best in country music coming up in just a few short minutes, right after ABC News on the Big 93, WBYG, Sandwich, Aurora.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm John Belmont.
And then about a decade ago, they switched over to religious teaching, and that seems to be working for them.
WYPA Chicago.
AM 930, WAUR, Sandwich, Chicago.
And, of course, we're listening for the 930 WAUR ID there. And for our final cut today, we are going to rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to provide us with some entertainment from Auburndale.
Tell a friend about 93 AM, WLBL, Auburndale, Stevens Point.
Well, that's enough 930 stations for one month. We'll be picking up next month right where we're leaving off here and fill in all the stations, I hope, west of the Mississippi that are at 930 on the dial. But now it's time to get back to the story that Mark Durenberger is spinning for us. You know, this whole business about superpower stations, 750,000-watt stations, and directional antennas to handle that kind of power, I know some of the things RCA was doing. They were starting to assemble these big transmitters in Camden, New Jersey. I'm sure Powell Crosley was doing much the same thing. But for WCCO on its unique clear channel frequency up in Minnesota to be thinking of assembling a Franklin antenna as part of a directional array, that was a huge gamble. And we're going to hear more about that. Here's Mark.
I know, and that was quite a commitment on their part. I mentioned at the beginning of this series that CCO had opened its files to me. I have copies of the engineering for that plan up there. They were very serious about building it. But in light of other developments, they probably would not have been able to get FAA clearance for a true Franklin antenna on 830 kilohertz in that area, particularly. That thing would have been well over 1,000 feet high. Well, the Clear Channel matter now had a serious record of comments and inquiries and responses, and some serious engineering deliberation, in addition to the political pressure on the record from both sides. The matter came to a head in 1961 with the publication of a report and order in the matter of Clear Channel broadcasting in the standard broadcast band. The 1961 report and order was a landmark edict. Until then, with the two exceptions, 640 and 830, only one station operated at night in the contiguous 48 states on each of the 24 1A channels. And now 1030 was added as the 25th channel under attack. That report and order in 1961 authorized duplication secondary stations on 13 of the 25 1A frequencies, assigning one new Class 2 station to each channel. A Class 2 station would operate with a minimum of 10,000 and a maximum of 50,000 watts at night. Interestingly, in some cases, Class 2 stations operated with lower power during the day to protect existing adjacent channel daytime services. One that comes to mind to the reader right now is KFMB in San Diego. These new Class 2 stations would be allocated to western states to serve those so-called white areas. Here now is the proposed lineup. And remember, by duplicated, we generally mean adding a second high-power operation on the channel. Here are the 25 Clear Channel 1A stations and the 1961 report and order changes. 640 would stay protected but was duplicated in Iowa, as we've said. 650 would remain protected as one of the 12 remaining clears. 660 would be protected, recognizing the existing operation in Alaska. 670 would be duplicated, and it would be somewhere in the state of Idaho. 700 would stay protected. 720 would be duplicated, somewhere in the state of Nevada. 750 would be protected, recognizing the existing operation in Alaska. 760 would be duplicated, and in San Diego it would help the KFMB move. We'll talk about that later. 770 would be duplicated in the matter of the famous KOB case. We'll talk about that a bit later. 780 would be duplicated somewhere in the state of Nevada, they said. 820 would remain protected. 830 would be protected, recognizing the duplication in New York we've already talked about. Channel 840 and 870 would be protected. 880 would be duplicated somewhere in Nebraska. 890 would be duplicated somewhere in Utah. 1020 would be duplicated somewhere in New Mexico. 1030, which had just become a 1A, would be duplicated, and that would be involved in the Wyoming move of KTWO. That was all part of that famous KOB case. 1040 would remain protected. 1100 would be duplicated somewhere in Colorado. Actually, it's about 3 miles from where I am right now. 1160 would be protected, 1180 duplicated somewhere in Montana, 1200 protected, and 1210 would be duplicated somewhere in Oklahoma. As I think all of our listeners know, the duplication in Iowa is in Ames. The duplication in Idaho was Boise, KBOI. The duplication in Nevada was KDWN in Las Vegas. The duplication in Nevada on 780 would be KKOH. The duplication in New York was WNYC. As it turned out, the duplication in Nebraska was KRVN in Lexington. The 890 duplication in Utah at St. George. And the 1020 duplication in New Mexico was in Roswell. And in 1030, of course, Casper, Wyoming. The 1100 duplication, as I said, was in Grand Junction, Colorado. 1120 ended up in Eugene, Oregon, I believe. 1180 in Montana, Kalispell. And 1210 duplicated in Oklahoma, KGYN and Guymon. The 1961 report and order contains some interesting language. In an intriguing way of hinting at the inevitable, instead of explaining how they chose which channels to duplicate, the commissioners chose to describe instead why they had spared the remaining 12. Here in the FCC's words are their reasons for protecting those final 12 1A channels as potential superpower candidates. Beginning, they said, with 640, it could serve the West. Superpower could cover a lot of white area in the West. KFI might operate 750,000 watts as a DA1, oriented 22 degrees. But since 1944, 640 had been duplicated in Ames, Iowa by WOI, under a series of special temporary authorities permitting nighttime operation. So they would have to deal with that if KFI was given superpower. 650, superpower could cover a lot of underserved area in the Southeast. The commission said WSM might operate 750 kilowatts directional night at 135 degrees. Because 660 was duplicated in Fairbanks, it was, in the FCC's words, protected for now against further duplication. While 660 might be available for superpower, such a station would not be authorized in New York because it would need to protect 650 and 670. Directionalizing north and southeast. And once you did that, you'd be pouring service into areas already well served, and that would obviate the need for superpower. Interesting. 700. They said superpower could cover a lot of underserved area in the southeast. WLW could operate 750,000 watts DA1 at 180 degrees. Interestingly, at this time, the FCC also said 700 might be available for both superpower in Cincinnati and duplication in Utah. 750 had been assigned to Alaska for duplication to allow Anchorage to surrender 730 to the Mexicans. WSB, citing the distance to Alaska, asked the FCC to protect 750 as a U.S. superpower channel. This request was denied at first, but in response to a later petition for reconsideration in 1965, the commission granted that protection, making it clear that this did not imply higher power would in fact be authorized. So that's how 750 got added to the 12. 820, the FCC said, serves the West, superpower could cover a lot of white area. They suggested WBAP could operate 750,000 watts DA night at 270 degrees. 830, superpower could expand service in the Midwest. But this channel, too, was already partly duplicated in New York. WNYC had been on the air since 1943 under limited nighttime authority. Well, the 1961 report and order made the New York authorization permanent. This is why, in the superpower application, WCCO would have had to directionalize west. 840, the commission suggested that superpower could cover a lot of underserved areas in the southeast. WHAS could operate 750,000 watts DAN at 135 degrees. On 870, they said superpower could cover a lot of underserved area in the southeast. That's a familiar refrain by now, isn't it? The FCC said WWL could operate 750,000 watts DA1 at 0 degrees. On 1040, they said superpower could expand service in the Midwest. WHO could operate 750,000 watts DA1 at 270 degrees. But if 1040 was good for the Midwest, why not 1120? Because KMOX at superpower on 1120 would cause unacceptable interference to adjacent channel 1110 and 1130 stations. So it appears that some channels like 1040 and 830 and others would have had a very good chance at superpower just by the luck of who their neighbors were. Going on to the last two channels the FCC thought could be superpower, they were 1160. The FCC said serves the West. Superpower could cover a lot of white area. They suggested, this is interesting, KSL could operate 750,000 watts non-directional. 1200 serves the West. Superpower could cover a lot of white area. WOAI could operate 750,000 watts at DAN at 337 degrees. So here we have the commission suggesting that these things could happen. Is it any wonder there was a lot of activity in Washington? Had these stations been granted superpower, directionalized on the bearings suggested, or non-directional, as in the case of KSL, can you imagine how the AM band might have sounded? The Clear Channel Broadcasting Service had been doing yeoman's work in assessing the various technical proposals before the FCC and ensuring that its own position was understood. Led by WSM's Jack DeWitt, the small but enterprising CCBS technical group filed comments proposing a gang of 20 channels for 750,000 watts. They suggested 640, 650, 680, 700, 720, 750, 810 to 850, 870, 890, 1020, 1030, and 1040, 1160, 1180, 1200, and 1210. The 1961 report and order provided other information of interest. To protect itself on 760, WJR had suggested to the commission that 760 be duplicated only in Hawaii. Well, the commission didn't buy that one. 760 had been assigned for use in San Diego to allow KFMB to vacate 540 for use by Mexico. In this instance, the FCC displayed its pragmatic side by granting itself some waivers, most notably reducing their own rules in the protection criteria for a station in Avalon, KBIG on 740, for the interference that might result from a San Diego operation on 760. So the FCC was determined to shoehorn that in there. And that would be the end of 1A channel operation, single channel operation on 760. On 830, the commissioners also reviewed an ill-timed proposal by that same KBIG 740 in Avalon that 830 be duplicated in Southern California. This gets a little complicated. KBIG proposed, hey, give 830 to KFMB instead of 760, and then we can stay operating at our power level on 740. This would also solve WJR's concerns about a domestic co-channel operation on 760. Alternatively, KBIG said, if KFMB were to be assigned 760, then let's move KBIG to 830. That too would resolve the 760-740 interference problem. Well, the commission wasn't buying any of that. They stuck to their earlier ruling that 760 would come alive in San Diego. 830 would continue to operate from Minneapolis with a secondary operation in New York City, and 830 would suffer no further duplication at this time. Ironically, as listeners know, there is now an 830 operation in Southern California. The FCC carried over without resolution the long-standing WCCO-WNYC battle. WNYC had come on the air in the 1940s under special temporary authorization, operating at night and causing interference to WCCO on 8:30. And as we know, eventually WNYC went to 8:20. Further notes, 10:30, which had been a 1B channel reserved for duplication in New Mexico as part of the KOB case, would now become a duplicated 1A channel and opened to operation in Wyoming. The commissioners also cut through a myriad of pleadings and population statistics to reaffirm that superpower on the Chicago 1A stations was not needed to provide new national nighttime service. They said additional stations in the West on the four Chicago frequencies, 670, 720, 780, and 890, would better serve Western listeners. Ironically, in the ultimate resolution of the Clear Channel matter, as we know, the Chicago stations, by virtue of their central location, probably ended up with the most protected land coverage area, certainly more than some of those 1A stations that had been protected against further duplication at the time. That 1961 report and order was a major milestone and a significant victory for the opponents of Clear Channel authority. But the Clear Channel operators weren't about to capitulate. Next month, we'll see what happens as these channels start to break up. We'll find out who began occupying these channels and what happened to the remaining 12 unduplicated protected 1A frequencies. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days. Until then, good listening, DXers. National Radio
Club. On our next edition of the DX Audio Service, this will be the edition right after the 2005 National Radio Club Convention. It will be history by the time you are hearing this. And if you did attend the convention, well, good for you, and we hope you had a good time. If you didn't, why not plan for next year's convention? I think on our next edition of the DX Audio Service, John Bowker might be in to tell us a little bit about the next convention, which is coming up over Labor Day 2006. And also, John wanted to remind everyone that if you have any comments or suggestions, perhaps just want to make your thoughts known about the convention, you can always contact him. Or what you can do is you can send a card or a letter or something to me here at the DX Audio Service. And I'll just put it into the big manila envelope and mail it on down to John so he has it. But he'd like to hear from you and find out what kind of things that you like to do at a convention. What are some of your favorite things that you like to see happen? Do you like tours? Do you like to go to radio stations? Does some historical things in a community interest you at all? Do you like to hear seminars or perhaps a little talk about how to do something, maybe build an antenna or put together a project? Well, now's the time to make your thoughts known just by getting in touch with John and letting him know a little bit about what's on your mind and what kind of things that you like to do. And that's what makes a convention, because if you just show up at the last minute and say, you know, I'd like to do this, chances are, well, you're just not going to be able to get around to doing it. But if your convention host has a little bit of time to prepare, they can make a real good convention. Just look at some of the past conventions you've been to, and when convention hosts have been able to put some programs together and things in advance, they really fly good. So just be thinking about that, okay?
From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, indeed, and we've got open lines for you tonight. Time to say hello to all the supporters of Coast to Coast AM, of course, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, various Yahoo chat rooms as well. This thing's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX Audio Service.